Welcome to Autogrill First Quarter 2013 Financial Results Presentation.
Good afternoon and welcome to our First Quarter 2013 Results Conference Call. As usual, I have to draw your attention to the disclaimer on page 2. All the numbers we will be referring to are on constant exchange rate basis, unless we say otherwise. Now, let me hand over to Gianmario Tondato, our CEO, who will introduce you into our quarterly results. We will take your question at the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Elisabetta. Good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for joining us. With me today, there are Alberto De Vecchi, our group CFO that you know very well, and Tom Frick, the head of our North American F&B business. As you probably remember, he joined the group 18 months ago, and he's gonna tell us about some actions that we have taken on the ground. Talking about the first quarter, we have delivered a very good result. What the results confirm is that in the F&B there are two different rhythms in three different core geographies that we operate in. The U.S. is starting to show signs of real improvement. Europe is still slow from a macroeconomic context. As you know, the vast majority of our business is on the motorway, and this is the channel that is suffering the most. In the rest of the world, we are seeing that our development work is starting to pay off. In fact, we have recently entered into a JV in Vietnam that is very important for us. Our travel retail business delivered another very good quarter. Now our work is focused on realizing the full potential of the plan after our wins in Spain. We are working our muscles to generate resources to the leverage on the go on and to go on the offensive on the upcoming tenders like Brazil. And now let's focus on why we are really here. The merger, you know, is the main focus of the moment of Autogrill. For me, this is a fantastic opportunity, which, if approved by the shareholders in June, will close a chapter which this management team thought, planned, and delivered on. We had a vision, a sort of dream, of growth and diversification, which began from a small idea with 50% of a local business in 2005, and that has now become a key player on the global stage with the best EBITDA before rent and the most solid portfolio duration in the global industry of the travel retail. I'm very proud and very happy for this achievement, and the final step will be the separate listing of this business. Personally, for me, it's like seeing my child grown up and now leave for college. So, it's an important moment, also personally. The travel retail listing will give them the ability to pursue the additional opportunities out there whilst we focus on the opportunity that exists in the F&B business. In the F&B, there are many things to achieve and develop based on further reducing costs, redeveloping the business, for instance, penetrating more the traffic, and growing in the emerging markets. We know how to do this, and Tom will walk you through what we had already achieved in North America. Now Alberto will comment on the numbers.
Good afternoon. Gianmario has spoken about the rationale of the proposed demerger. If in June the shareholders approved the demerger, we might report the travel retail and duty-free figures as discontinued operations already in our semi-annual figures. This is not the case for the first quarter, where you will see the travel retail and duty-free business consolidated line by line. But in the light of the possible demerger, I think it makes little sense to comment the numbers of group as a whole, and I prefer to focus on the two businesses separately. Let's start with the travel retail and duty-free. Our travel retail business grew by 3.5%, driven by the UK, and our operations in the rest of the world. In fact, the performance in these two areas made up for the fall in sales in Spain. In the U.K., we continue to outperform traffic, with sales growing by 4.4% against traffic growing by 1.5%. Once again, Heathrow recorded solid results. With traffic up by 1.8%, sales increased by 3.9%. Sales at Gatwick were excellent, up 9.1%, also thanks to the walk-through refurbishment. Sales in Spain fell by 6.5%, but performing better than the traffic, which declined by 8.2%. Madrid was particularly penalized, recording a 14.8% reduction in sales. This fall includes our exit from the luxury shops at Madrid Airport, as these shops were not part of the contracts renewed in December. If you exclude this impact, the reduction in sales at Madrid Airport would be limited to 5.1%, compared to a decline of 14.3% in traffic. The overperformance on traffic has been driven by the increase of the spend per head. Not all the Spanish airports showed declining sales. In Barcelona, sales grew by 2.5%, notwithstanding traffic was down by 4.7%. In Alicante, sales improved by 11% against flat traffic, thanks to high-spending Russian passengers. In the rest of the world, sales grew by 8.9%. Our best performance was seen in Vancouver, followed by Jordan, Kuwait, and Chile. EBITDA grew by 4.4%, with a margin that reached 10.1%. Also, in this quarter, we captured the best-performing passengers and the best product mix. In Europe, non-EU sales reached 58% of the total, while it was 56% in the same period of 2012. In terms of product categories, beauty sales increased by 4%, driven by effective promotion activities implemented in U.K. As a consequence of winning the Spanish tenders in December, we extended to 2020 the useful life of the Spanish concessions booked as intangible assets. This accounted for 3 million out of the 5 million decline in the depreciation of the period. On cash flow, the first quarter of 2013 saw the outflows related with the Spanish renewal. These include 27 million of cash deposit to be included in fixed asset and 279 million of advance payment on future rent included in current and non-current working capital. Before the inclusion of the 279 million outflow to Aena, the operational cash generation of travel retail improved by 64%, moving from around 20 million in the quarter to 32.6 million. Now, moving to the food and beverage. As Gian Mario said, we're very satisfied with the performance in North America. In 2012, our sales already performed positively, but 2013 has started very well, both in terms of sales growth and EBITDA. You will hear more on how HMS Host did from Tom Frick shortly, but before, let me summarize some numbers. On a comparable basis, sales at U.S. airports grew by 7.5%, with traffic growing by 1.3%. Sales benefited by both more transactions and a higher average ticket, which respectively grew by 2.8% and 4.6% versus first quarter 2012. Actual sales in North American airports increased by 3.5%, that is significantly less than comparable sales due to the exit from some contract and our reduced presence in San Diego and LA. We also deliver strong performance on U.S. motorways on a comparable basis, with an increase in sales of 6.6%, with traffic falling by 1.2% to the end of February. Our EBITDA grew by 9.5%, significantly higher than the growth in sales. This result was driven by a recovery on sales price on past year's raw material inflation, improvement on waste and shrinks management, and lower G&A expenses. In Europe, where we are predominantly on motorways, it continues to be hard work, especially in Italy. In Italy, sales fell by 6.7%, with sales on motorways falling by 6.4%. And at the end of February, traffic was down 1.6%. The falling traffic is compounded by the economic environment, which leads people to cut spending. The flow-through of lower sales on EBITDA has been tough in Italy, with labor costs and rents, which are of a near-fixed nature, significantly increasing their incidence of sales. In the rest of Europe, thanks to a more balanced portfolio than the one we have in Italy, the situation is stable. We deliver good results at airport and at railway stations, which in part compensated for the poor performance on motorways. Excluding rent and royalties, costs remain stable in the rest of Europe. The increase in rent is mostly driven by the higher sales performance in airports, where we have higher rents compared to motorways. On cash flow, the first quarter of 2013 resulted for food and beverage in a cash absorption of 100 million compared to around 77 million in first quarter 2012. The difference has been generated by working capital, which worsened by more than 25 million, mainly in Italy as a result of the declining sales. Stabilizing our sales in Italy is one of our priorities, but at the moment, this target seems still out of reach. Now, I would like to ask Tom Frick to give you some color on what he and his team have been doing in North America.
Thank you, Gianmario, Alberto, and good afternoon, everybody. Today is my first opportunity to participate in this call. I wanted to begin by introducing myself and discussing some of the more strategic objectives I have. As Gianmario said, I arrived at HMS Host about 16 months ago at a time when the business had secured some important and large contracts. But despite these successes, there were indications that we were slowly disconnecting from our landlords and our customers, and as you know, margins had been under pressure. The experience I bring to HMS Host is from a customer product and retailing perspective, having spent 12 years at PepsiCo and 6 years with various retailers. As a result, in the first months on board, I saw the opportunity and, more importantly, the need for accelerated revenue growth, as well as the need to develop deeper and more meaningful relationships with our customers, our partners, and our employees. The latter two groups, I think you would agree, are critical in our efforts to find new and better ways to keep our customers happy. Today, the management team of HMS Host North America is fully committed to developing and implementing the plans and programs we need to restore earnings growth to this business. In the coming years, as we pursue this goal, we will continually look to identify opportunities to improve our productivity and reduce overheads. But it is our belief that at the same time, we will also have to continue to increase our revenue growth above the level of recent years. Our longer-term internal revenue growth targets are roughly in line with comparable sales growths achieved today. For HMS Host to achieve this, we, of course, will rely on traditional factors like employments, which is forecasted to increase, but only in the range of 1 to 2%. We will also continue to work on growing our average ticket, both through strategic pricing opportunities and upselling. But to ensure we can deliver at the higher level, we have to look beyond traditional growth variables. In early 2012, we delivered a new KPI we call capture. Capture simply is a measure of the percentage of the customers entering an airport or passing a motorway facility who are stopping to purchase from any of our units. As a result of our new focus, we saw consistent improvement in our capture performance in 2012. And in 2013, we continued to develop new and exciting ways to reach our customers. In fact, why don't we look at some of those now? If we go to page 16 in the materials that have been forwarded to you, the first way you see we're going after capture is through convenience. As we have continuing dialogue with our customers, we understand that quality is important to them, and obviously we've been focusing on the quality of the food that we serve and the products that we sell. But increasingly, customers are concerned about getting their offering fast. As a result, we're developing new units, and pictured on this slide are two, Chow Market and Pronto, which allow us to make our offerings or get our offerings closer to our consumer. The units are visually appealing and really start to leverage some of the learnings that have recently developed in visual merchandising through consumer products companies and retailers. So the units will also improve the ease of the transaction and we hope drive impulse purchasing as well. And because these are in new locations in the airport, the footprint tends to be smaller, which also improves our capital efficiency and productivity. On the second page, as we mentioned before, we are working very hard to deepen our relationships and improve our working relationships with our key brand partners. Today, we're literally working with dozens, but I wanted to highlight two of the biggest for us, Starbucks and Coca-Cola. In Starbucks, we have many initiatives underway, but two that we want to focus on I'll describe in some detail. For any of you who have had an opportunity to visit a Starbucks in the United States, particularly during peak hour, you know that one of our key challenges is the line. The lines at Starbucks during peak hours are quite long, and we know that we're losing customers and transactions as some people are either unwilling or unable to wait for their coffee. Starbucks has developed a new labor management tool they refer to as Playbook, and we are working very hard with them today to both modify it for and validate it in the airport and roadway environments, and we're very pleased with the results that we're seeing. In addition, in Starbucks, they have developed a quite successful warming program that principally serves sandwiches and breakfast offerings, but also has food available in other day parts. We are working equally aggressively with them in our units and hope to have over 100 units this year offering warming to our customers, which will be a great incremental sale. With Coca-Cola, obviously one of the preeminent marketing organizations in the world, our teams are working very hard with their units to develop the latest customer value promotions with the Coca-Cola brand. In addition, we are working with them to develop some of the first ever promotional activity in social media channels, and they're working with our marketing group to develop our own social media strategies. Finally, on the last slide, just to give you, there are lots of other things we're pursuing, and we wanted to give you a list. It ranges from trying to drive throughputs in our units by creating patio seating outside of the four walls of our restaurants, to social media strategies and developing programs for deplaning passengers and loyalty programs as well. So is all that working? Yes. Now, of course, I know it's early in the process, but as Alberto mentioned earlier, our Q1 comparable sales in U.S. airports in Q1 was 7.5%. And we're quite pleased with that. And in fact, it's in line with our new, more aggressive internal revenue targets. And as we work through the impact of the fragmentation we've experienced at some airports in past years, we're confident that we can continue to achieve these goals. From a cost perspective, we're looking aggressively at the middle of our P&L and have several programs in place to drive improvements. Today, we're focused on several tactical initiatives. Some are designed to improve cost of sales by reducing waste and shrink. Others are designed to improve payroll through more effective management of overtime and break compliance. We now are also developing a more structured program that will help us better align our staffing levels to the demand variability we see on a daily basis at the unit level. And finally, we continue to look aggressively at all non-customer fronted costs to be sure they are held at the most productive levels possible. To align our teams on our strategy, we hosted a national operations conference in February. This actually was the first time this critical group has been together in the past 10 years. The meeting was essential for aligning our management team to the challenges we face in the coming years, as well as fully informing them of the programs and initiatives we'll be executing. For example, one of the critical initiatives discussed was the aggressive redeployment of pre-shift meetings throughout our business. These daily meetings are a great way to align teams on the current challenges and issues they face, to establish personal targets and objectives for our associates, to elicit ideas and suggestions from the staff, and build teamwork and morale. Already in March, we've seen significant impact against some critical business problems at the first units to adopt pre-shift meetings. Let me give you an example. On the Ontario motorways, our teams decided to use the meetings to address an issue we had with our average drive-through transaction times at our Tim Hortons units. Our 74-second average was substantially above the 29-second standard established by the brand. Within 3 weeks of starting the process, our teams dropped the times dramatically, and we are now basically at the brand standard. And more importantly, in these locations, we're now processing up to 34% more transactions during peak hours, and that was done without any incremental labor or capital investment. So in summary, we are very pleased with our first quarter. Initial progress in focusing on capture has helped drive our comparable and total sales growth. More tactical initiatives focused on the middle of the P&L have helped to drive some improvements in cost and therefore store cash flow. And the continued focus on overhead has helped the business deliver some solid improvement to our EBITDA margins. But most importantly to me, our employee base has enthusiastically embraced their increased engagement through pre-shift meetings. We are bullish on 2013.
Thank you, Tom. First quarter 2013 can be summarized as follows. Travel retail and duty-free continues on its growth trajectory. We have a clear understanding of where we need to work in F&B. We have started to see real improvement in the U.S. So what developments have we seen since the closing of the first quarter of 2013? Group sales to week 18 are up by 0.5%, with food and beverage down 0.4% and travel retail up by 2.5%. In North America, the work Tom and his team are doing is continuing to pay off. And in travel retail, we continue to see strong spend per head. As you know, 2 weeks ago, the board approved the project for the demerger. The next step is the extraordinary shareholder meeting on the 6th of June. As a result, any guidance we would give now might be perceived as an anticipation of the shareholders' decision. Our intention is to give you the appropriate guidance when we announce our half-year results. Thank you, and now we are very pleased to answer to your questions.
Session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by 1. To cancel your reservation, dial star followed by 2. First question comes from Mr. Tim Ramsky from Credit Suisse. Mr. Ramsky, please.
Thank you. I've got two questions, please. Just following on from the discussion about the performance and the initiatives in the US business, you referred there in the prepared remarks to capture as a new KPI. I just wondered if you could share with us how that's progressing and if you could share with us any targets for where you think you can increase that capture percentage to. And then secondly, clearly, you know, big focus there on the US, but one of the most problematic areas of your business is clearly Italy. When do you think you'll be in a position to share with us what your plan for addressing the clear structural pressures there might be? It feels as if we're not quite yet in a position to discuss that, but are you hopeful we'll be able to do so in the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, with respect to the capture metric, it's a metric that we today calculate by a formula of transactions that we know that occur in a terminal with implanting passenger counts that we get from the federal government. Like any metric, it'll get better and we'll refine it over time. Today, our capture rates are in the low 20s. It depends on the airport, depends on the location, but in general, nationally, it's in the low 20s. And so we think that there's tremendous opportunity. We do have some growth metrics that are put in place at all levels in the field organization around capture, and it's a report now that we watch on a monthly basis.
Okay, thank you.
With respect to a more precise explanation and going more in detail about the plans of the group with respect to the food and beverage business, we are planning in connection with the merger to make an investor day on the two businesses and specifically on the food and beverage. This will be the occasion that we expect that most likely will happen in the beginning of September.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
No question at the moment. I remind you that to register for your question, you can press star followed by one. Next question comes from Ms. Elisa Corgi from Intermonte. Ms. Corgi, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. One question is on your CapEx this year, your CapEx planning this year. Can you give us a sort of sense of how much are you going to spend on CapEx on both businesses, so as a consolidated figure? And then another question is really housekeeping on your Q1 results, and I would like to know if in your results you build up some restructuring costs in Q1. Thank you.
With respect to the CapEx, I think that this year will be the traditional number that is around 250 million. This year, probably a bit more in travel retail because we have to start the programs of refurbishment of the Spanish airport. So travel retail, I expect that will be, almost twice the size that we are used to. That is more in the range of 70 to 80 million and the rest in the food and beverage. Because this year compared to the previous year, we had less renewals in F&B, so a bit less CapEx than what we experienced in the last 2 years. With respect to the restructuring cost, we had made some provision, but they are not particularly material.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Stefano Lustig from Equita SIM. Mr. Lustig, please.
Good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one is on the profitability, on the EBITDA margin of the retailing business, which grew to 10.1% coming from 10% in the quarter. The first quarter is not that relevant in terms of indication, but I wonder if after many years of fantastic expansion in the margin of the retailing business, we are almost close to reach a limit, even without taking into consideration the increase of concession fee that will be experienced from the next quarter. But even without taking into account that element, if the recent slowdown in the increase of the profitability, it means that we are quite close to to a limit after a fantastic expansion in the recent years. The second question is on the duty-free. Once again, first quarter is very complicated to have indication in terms of what could be the taxation rate, but if you have a rough indication of the taxation rate for the retailing business for 2013. And the final question, when looking at the top line you report for the first 18 weeks, it seems that there has been a slight improvement when compared to the one of the first quarter. I was wondering if you can tell us in which areas there has been a bigger improvement.
Frankly speaking, I was thinking, we were thinking about what you said about the retail. I hope you're right, you are wrong, you know, but frankly speaking, going through the numbers, I don't see a real slowdown, you know, neither in the average ticket nor in the spending attitude. What we see right now in the retail, take out for a moment the rent and the concession fees that we're going to pay in Spain, we're paying in Spain, is a slowdown in traffic in Madrid. That's an important. Actually, if you look at the number of the traffic in Madrid, I think it's down by 15%, and our sales are down by 6%, 5-6%. So I mean, we are overperforming the traffic, and actually the average ticket is up, you know. And if I look at the sales in the UK, particularly in some airports like, of course, you can guess Heathrow, you know, I think we are 4-5%, you know, with a traffic of 1%. So I don't think we don't see a trend like you see or I don't know.
No.
I don't see this trend coming yet. You know, so, and again, it's a changing mix. It's a changing in the quality of the employment, quality of traffic. We are selling more expensive stuff. The mix is going up, actually, in our sales. So so far, it looks like a healthy business. And again, not considering the additional fees, and not considering the slowdown in traffic that, of course, we are experiencing in some airports like Madrid. But if you look, for instance, I mean, Peru or Chile, for instance, there is a change in Brazilians are traveling less, you know, so spending less, you know, in this. So there is much lighter the traffic in this, but still growing. So I don't. That's what we see, you know.
Can I do a follow up? Sorry.
Of course.
No. I totally agree with the healthy condition. I was referring to the EBITDA margin. That the yearly expansion of the EBITDA margin was still positive, but less accelerating, let's say, when compared to previous quarter. But obviously, as you were saying, the fact that in Q1 the condition in Spain were quite challenging, obviously, represented a challenge, and this was probably one of the reasons.
Again, you said it. I mean, the first quarter is very. In our opinion, the trend is there is not a material change in the trend. That's what I can tell you. Talking about the margin and yet could happen. But
no, yes,
so
okay.
I hope you're wrong and we're right. For the future, for the past.
We respect. With respect to the tax rate for the travel retail, I think that you can consider the one that we have in UK as an indication of the overall for the group, and we are around 22-23%. So I think that if you use 22%, it's a reasonably precise indication. While with respect to sales at week 18, for food and beverage, I think that there's been some slight improvement with respect to the quite negative performance in Italy in that we had in the first quarter. So some improvement, of course, still in the negative area, but a bit less negative than in the first 3 months. U.S. is continuing to perform very well, so that's not a change with respect to the first 3 months. And in the travel retail, the positive is in the rest of the world, while Spain is still struggling.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Marco Barcaglio from Kepler Cheuvreux. Mr. Barcaglio, please.
Good afternoon. I have a question on the Italian motorways. On the 29th of March, the Minister of Economic Development issued a document with some, I would say, quite convinced suggestion for the way in which the motorway service station contract should be renewed in the next round. So I was wondering if you have any comment on the document and if you have made any simulation about what could be the impact in terms of a cost base of a service station if these actions are implemented in terms of flexibility of opening hours and so on.
But first of all, the document is, of course, very positive. It is just a framework. We don't know anything about the big process that we're facing now. So it's too early to say. Of course, it gives some general rules to a sector that didn't have any rule before. You know, so I think he's a little bit narrowing the power, if you want, of the concessionaire. And so he's telling you have to. But generally speaking, it's too early to say. Simulation for sure is impossible because we don't know what we're gonna face. You know, and it's too early to say if this is something that is gonna help the process or not. You know, generally speaking, I'm happy and we are happy, you know, to see that there is a little bit of attention, a little bit of attention from the government on a sector that is important, in my opinion, crucial for the future, not only for Autogrid but for the future of the country.
Next question comes from Mr. Michael Heider from Bank and Bellevue. Mr. Heider, please.
Yes, good afternoon. I have one question regarding your travel retail business, and excuse me if you've already answered it, but have you confirmed or can you confirm that you are planning to list it on the Milan Stock Exchange?
Yes.
Okay, and is there a time frame for that?
I think, yes, we can say that we are going for the end of September, beginning of October. That's the timeline.
Okay, thanks. That's good. Thanks.
Next question comes from Mr. Thomas Baumann from Mirabeau Securities. Mr. Baumann, please.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. I have a detailed question to your Belém concession in Brazil. It obviously concerns the travel retail and duty-free business. Can you comment on that? Have you received the license to operate in the meantime, and have you started operations, and how is business developing in connection while some slowdown in Brazilian consumption based on various factors? Thank you very much.
We didn't start the operation yet, and I think it's a matter of weeks, so that's the state of the art on Belém. It's very small.
I know it's very small. It's rather small, but I think you received the go-ahead last August. Can you comment what delayed the start of operation to that extent?
I think it's a normal delay. I mean, probably it's a normal delay on authorizations. I don't see any other problems on that, frankly speaking, but.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Consider that for Brazil, we are a totally new operator, so we have to be accredited, and that takes more time. When you enter any country, normally it is a bit longer. We hope not long as we did in Saudi Arabia, because it took us years in that case. That is not the case, so that is normal. So it is nothing particularly strange. And we, of course, for us, you know, it's a very small contract, but it is also an opportunity to know a bit better exactly the environment, because for the next renewals, it is important for us to understand exactly this kind of issues with respect to the authorization and so on. We hope to have more occasions in larger contracts in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well understood.
All right. Welcome.
Next question comes from Mr. Luca Orsini from One Investment. Mr. Orsini, please.
Good afternoon. Just two simple questions. The first is on if we should expect, and if you can quantify the integration cost inside your food and beverage business by putting together businesses which used to be under different division. And the second question is that with the new contract in Spain starting, when we will start to see the impact of the new contract in Iberia? Thank you. And if you can, even if you're able to, of course, quantify that.
Yes. No, we got your questions. I think that with respect to integration, restructuring, of course, I assume that you refer to the integration that we are aiming to in our F&B organization in Europe.
Yes.
Yeah. In
that
case,
putting together the food, which was so in some cases inside the airport business. And also whether there is more integrated needed with the food in the US and the food in Europe.
No, I think that in this case that there is not any integration in the sense that the two businesses, the food and beverage and the travel retail, if you're referring to that, are doing two different businesses. When we're not exiting from airports, we are, of course, we continue to deal in as far as food and beverage in the two main channels, that is airport and motorways, and the two activities are already split. So that is not something that we have to be worried about. On the contrary, as we are always striving to have, say, more efficient structure, we want to react to the slowdown in motorways in Europe also to be more effective and more efficient. And there is a program ongoing on the subject, and I think that we will give all the market details on that when we have our Investor Day in September. With respect to the travel retail, in terms of impact of the Spanish renewals, in terms of cost, that is the higher rent, we would start paying the new conditions starting from this month, in May. While in order to see some impact of the refurbishment in the airports that are on the basis of what we expect the pickup in sales. Of course, we have to make the refurbishment and we have still to start. So I expect that we may see something by the end of the year, but most likely in 2014.
Can you remind us the increase in rental in Spain on a monthly basis or a yearly basis, as you want?
Yeah, the increase is not in one shot because our offer assumes that the rents are adjusted in the course of the concession, and the concession is 7 years long. But we move from an average of around 28% that was the previous conditions to a 38%. But this is not happening in one shot. So the impact especially in the first year, is more limited. But even here, as I said, we will take the occasion of the split, assuming that the shareholder meeting takes this decision in June, in order to have meetings with investors and two investors days, one for the food and beverage and the other one for the travel retail, in which we will explain the market, not only the change in the conditions in terms of rents, but also our expectations in terms of expansion of sales. Yes,
thank you very much.
Welcome.
Next question comes from Miss Elisa Corgi from Intermonte. Miss Corgi, please.
Thanks. I have three more questions, if I may. Going back to your performance at Madrid, but really the question can also be applied to your performance in Barcelona. How did you manage to limit the decline of your like-for-like sales to -5% with traffic down almost 15% in Madrid? Second question is on your startup at Düsseldorf. How long will it take to have your operations there fully up and running? And, well, one more question on Italy. I know Q1 is a small one, but your profitability in Italy was severely down. Well, can we assume some exceptional measures can be taken to make your business model more cost-effective in Italy? Thank you.
Before the last, I think if you look at our P&L in Italy, basically it's a problem of sales. That's what it is, because, you know, if you look at what goes up is the cost of labor, but the actual number is flat, is around, trying to remember on the top of my head, but it's 67 million, something like that. So the actual cost is flat. What is missing is the sales. So it's the negative flow through of the sales that we're missing, you know. So additional measure, you know, we need traffic, otherwise, you know, and we need to stop the declining. What we see, as Alberto said before, you know, is to say that there is an improvement, you know, it's a little bit too optimistic, but we see a slower decline, or if you want, a little bit of flattening of this decline in Italy. So that's the good news, if there is a good news in Italy. But I don't think we can keep on cutting, and also because, as you know, we are facing the next big process, you know, in probably some months, you know. So it's to what we're gonna do is gonna be done after this bid process, because we don't want to give any advantage to anybody, you know, to see what we are planning to do in terms of strategic repositioning of the business.
Okay.
And
on the other two questions, with respect to Düsseldorf, we expect that in the third quarter probably we will start seeing normal operations there. So the end of the startup phase. While with respect to Madrid, basically the aim is to improve the spend per head, and this is mainly done because we try to extract the most from the passengers. To some extent, the quality of the passengers in Madrid to some extent is improving because domestic passengers are declining and in favor of international passengers that has a higher spend per head. And also with a lot of management of categories. So, say, declining, for instance, low margin, at least for Spain, categories like tobacco, increasing beauty and liquor that are high margin. So at the end, means that this led to an increase in the spend per head of around 8%. That accounted for the overperformance with respect to the traffic.
Well, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no more questions.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.